Welcome back to the morning skate here on 90.7 The Capstone. We're getting a little crunk here, I guess, just a little early. How's the music choice, guys? Is it doing it for you?
I'm loving it.
Yeah, it's pretty good.
Turn up.
Yeah, turn up indeed. But again, we've been talking hockey for quite a bit now, but we're going to keep doing it because that's what the Sunday Morning Skate is. We talk nothing but hockey, and except when we're done talking about hockey. And then we talk about hockey.
Oh, we do? I don't know.
But I want to continue with the Olympic talk because, you know, now we can kind of look back as the Olympics as a whole finished product. And one of the things, I guess, you know, I gave you guys a little homework. I just want to talk a little bit about this, you know. Let's talk about some of the greatest moments of this tournament. And it's obvious, and I know that every one of you has the same number one, or at least I hope it is, or else you're not an American. TJ Oshie's shootout against Russia is going to go down in history. It's just not going to go down in Olympic history. But it really was one of the greatest moments of Olympic history, as far as American Olympic history, as far as I'm concerned. If we would have gotten a gold medal, then it would have probably rivaled the Miracle Game, but I guess it's going to be a second or third now. But we'll start with you, Andrew. As far as this tournament is concerned, give me a moment that stuck out. It could be a player, it could be a moment, just a game. So just give us something.
You know, TJ Oshie, you know, is awesome. It was worth getting up at 6:30 last Saturday morning to watch that game. Loved it, every second of it, and I'm going to be interested to see, you know, what happens to TJ Oshie in the shootouts, you know, in the NHL for the rest of the year. But a moment that really sticks out to me is the way Latvia played Canada, and, you know, especially now Canada's the gold medal, how they were, you know, what, 10 minutes away from going to overtime if it wasn't for Shea Weber. I mean, the way Latvia's goaltender played against the big bad Canadians.
Yeah, I actually have him for our next segment where we pick a standout player, Kristers Gudlevski.
Yes,
he's a Tampa Bay goalie. He's gonna be a star, I think. And this was his coming out party. Cool.
Mine is Carey Price. I really like how he played. You know, eight straight periods, we're not letting in a goal. You know, he just played. I think he played phenomenal, and he played in the big games that really mattered against the USA, against the final bit of Latvia and Canada. I mean, against Sweden. He just was such a great player. You know, he did everything right. He made the right calls. He was in the zone when he needed to be. You can't go wrong with having Carey Price as either not even the tournament MVP, but just the way how he played the last games, especially in the elimination games.
Round us out, Eric.
Yeah, for me, I think it's the Finland game against the USA. I think it's Timo Solani scoring two goals in his final Olympic game. I think that sticks out, and him eventually winning tournament MVP.
Yeah, it's definitely a very special ending for a very special player. He's going to go down as one of the greatest in history, and not necessarily just internationals. I think you could make a case that he's on the Mount Rushmore of hockey as of right now. You can make a case. We're not arguing that, but just a statement. But I guess those are the individual moments. The moment for me is kind of, as I already say, I align with you completely, Andrew. Kristers Gudlevski. He's a Tampa Bay goalie, and he 57 shots seen, 55 saves against what was one of the most talented offensive teams in the tournament. That doesn't just happen if you aren't a little good. It helps to be lucky, but it's better to be good than lucky. But I kind of already foreshadowed it. Now I want, just give me two players. This is one of my favorite parts about the Olympics, is just finding a player who you didn't necessarily know about, and he just explodes. So we'll start with you, Andrew. I want you to give me a player, or actually we'll give me two players that stuck out or had a good tournament, and now either A, they're on your radar, or B, they were on your radar before, and now you just enjoyed seeing them play.
You know, the guy that really stood out to me, you know, his stats weren't as flashy. You know, I knew who he was, but didn't really have a chance to see him play a whole lot, and that's Ryan McDonough of the New York Rangers in Team USA. I just really liked the way he played on the blue line against the best of Russia, and he just shut down Evgeny Malkin and shut down Ilya Kovalchuk in that Russia game, and just I really enjoyed watching Ryan McDonough play, and I think he's going to be a stud in the future.
My first one is going to be Anzi Kopitar from Slovenia. I thought he had just a great tournament. He played very well against the United States. He played very well against, Finland or Austria in the quarterfinal rounds.
Austria
in the quarterfinal rounds. You know, I thought he was a really good player. He was never on my radar. He plays for the Los Angeles Kings. He is going to be someone. He's the center. I think he's going to be someone in the future to very look forward to, especially coming into playoff season.
Yeah, for me, besides Erik Karlsson, who I already mentioned had a great tournament, my first is Olli Maatta, 3 goals, 2 assists, 19 years old, playing in his first Olympics, let alone he's a rookie in the NHL, wasn't even expected to make the Penguins this year. He's a great player, and he played great defense for Finland. Another Finnish player who had a great tournament, Mikael Granlund, 3 goals, 4 assists for Finland, and another guy that helped out that Finnish offense against the U.S., and they brought home the bronze medal.
Granlund voted on the first team all tournament as voted by the media, so definitely not, you know, don't let his contributions be overlooked. For me, I kind of already alluded who I'm going to pick. One of them is Kristaps Gudlevskis for Latvia. That performance against Canada is, to me, it sticks out as one of the, you know, Canada was given a scare, and a lot of it was because of this young goaltender, 21 years old, and in the Tampa Bay system, it's nice to know that they have options and that they probably will be fine if Ben Bishop ever leaves by injury or free agency. But another guy that sticks out to me is tournament MVP, or not tournament MVP, but just a player that stood out. I got two more. I cheated. I'm sorry. But one of them is Lauri Korpikoski. You know, again, that's a Coyotes bias pick, but, you know, he had, another solid Finnish player, you know, 2 goals, 2 assists with a +3. I guess the thing that sticks out to me is that he did it on a non-scoring line. You know, that's definitely, that's what he does with the Coyotes. He's that third line punch, and it's nice to see that he, you know, that game translates to the Olympic sheet. Anything you want to add about Korpikoski's play there?
I was just going to say, you know, he's been injured for most of the NHL season, too. He hasn't played a whole lot, and it's good to see him get back healthy and have a good Olympic run.
Yeah, the Corpedo, as our play-by-play guy, Steve McConnell.
Matt McConnell,
as he so affectionately refers him to. The other guy I wanted to say that stuck out to me, at least as far as watching the tournament goes, it's Anton Belov, a defenseman for Russia. He plays with Edmonton right now in the NHL. You know, doesn't get a lot of press just because Edmonton's defensive unit as a whole is not very good. But when anytime I watched Belov, I was really impressed with how he handled it, especially the U.S.-Russia game. You know, his play was a lot of the reason why he scored. You know, he scored the goal that wasn't, if you will, because the net was off the mooring. But Anton Belov is a guy who really stuck out to me. But moving on, I do want to keep on. You know, we'll open up the conversation a little bit. You know, I want you to give me each a team that surprised and a team that disappointed, just because, you know, there are some easy choices, I think, but it's still, I'd like to have this discussion a little bit. So we'll start with you, Eric. I want you to give me a team in the Olympic tournament who surprised and a team who disappointed.
My surprise team is Slovenia. They only have one NHL player, Anzi Kopitar, as Cole already mentioned. They were able to beat Slovakia, which I had as maybe stealing a medal in this Olympic, because they have a lot of skill on that team. So they're able to beat Slovakia, and then they beat Austria in the playoff round before getting beat by Sweden. But this was a team that wasn't expected to win anything. In our preview show before the Olympics, we didn't even mention them because we didn't think they were going to do anything.
We also didn't know that much about them.
Yeah, exactly. So they were a really surprising team. And then my obvious pick for disappointment is Russia. They had so much skill on that team, and they didn't do anything with it. As Patrick Waugh, he hit it right on the dot. They played like a bunch of individuals and didn't play as a team, and it was really disappointing to watch that team.
Well, when your individuals are Malkin, Ovechkin, and Datsyuk, maybe you can get away with that, but I guess it doesn't on the Olympic sheet. How about you, Cole?
Mine's going to be Slovenia, too, as the surprise team. I did not expect them to do anything against anyone, and they ended up pulling out that 4-win, that 4-0 win against Austria. And, you know, they then ended up losing to Sweden 5-0, but you can't really blame them. One NHL player versus a dozen, I mean, it's completely different. And my actual disappointment team is Switzerland. I was really disappointed at Swiss because they played so well in the preliminary games, you know, winning 3-1. They only lost one game, and then they come out against Latvia, and they lose 3-1. That made me so upset because if Jonas Hiller was playing such great hockey in that goal for all the preliminary rounds, and he loses in the qualification rounds to easy shots. It was just disappointing to say. I could go Russia, but I know Russia's the easy favorite. So just watching Swiss play, I had them, you know, maybe even upsetting Canada if, you know, Hiller was going to be able to play so well. And they end up losing to Latvia. So That's a little bit of a heartbreaker to me.
Round us out, Andrew.
I was going to go as my surprise team, Latvia. And the reason why I have Latvia is because they didn't win a single prelim game. You know, they lost to the Czech, Sweden, and Switzerland, and then they come out and, you know, they win their first game, and then they, you know, gave Canada a run for their money and was this close, just so close to getting into the medal rounds. And for my surprise team, or my disappointing team, I'm not going to go with Russia. You know, that is the obvious choice. I'm going to go with Slovakia. Like Eric said, you know, I could have saw them getting a medal. They have, you know, Jaroslav Halak, the goaltender of the St. Louis Blues. Very, very good goaltender. They have Marian Hossa. Also, obviously, the big boy in Zdeno Chara, and then the two really good young players I like from the Detroit Red Wings, Tomas Tatar and Thomas Yurkel.
Yeah, those are all definitely really good ones. My disappointment is my surprise is Latvia, just because I think that, again, they were not projected to do much of anything, but watching them, they were a very spirited team. They were a very, you know, there was a fire in the way they played, and, you know, again, maybe they didn't have that big win, if you will, but they definitely played. They showed that they're going to be a contender every 4 years, and that's something to be respected, I think. As far as my disappointment, I do have Russia written down as mine, just because, I guess, watching that U.S. game, I'm sitting here thinking, I was almost cheering for the Russian team because they just, you know, the crowd was in it. It was just a lot to love about that atmosphere for Russia, and I thought that that would translate to more wins for them going down the road. And if they were in a medal game, it was over, I thought, just because Russia's fans were going to be in it no matter what. They make a goal, it's over. You know, that crowd is just unswayable. But I guess that's the disappointment for me. The other disappointment could be the U.S. just because, you know, they should have been able to medal, but they didn't. They didn't show up to the medal round, as we kind of already talked about. But but moving on, one team who didn't disappoint, I guess, as far as the U.S. hockey will still walk away with a medal out of all this, and we have our women to thank for that. And so I guess I want to open up the conversation to that a little bit. We'll start with you, Eric. Give me the thoughts on the women's team. Just give me the thoughts on how the women performed this tournament.
I thought they performed well. I really thought they were going to pull it out against Canada. That was just, it was so disappointing. Up two goals in the third period, and then in the last 3 minutes, I believe, and then just giving it up is just so disappointing. But overall, they played a good tournament. But you're going to play a good tournament when you're playing against pretty bad teams, except Canada.
All right. How about you, Cole? Any thoughts?
You really said it best, is when you're playing against two teams that really are just the two powerhouses and everyone else is just slowly, slowly behind you. I mean, Japan was in the tournament for the women's team. If that gives any clue of how high up the United States is, you know, in hockey for women's. But, you know, you watch them play, and you see them play against teams, against Finland, 3-1, Switzerland, 9-0. Their only loss came to Canada in the group stage, losing 3-2, and then ending up losing to Canada again, 3-2. You know, it was bittersweetness because of, you know, you got to see the U.S. play really great games against really decent teams. But at the same time, United States gets compared all the time to the women in the men's division as the little brother of Canada, and it's kind of the same story with the women's. They're still the little sister of Canada.
Take us home, Andrew.
Yeah, you know, Cole summed it right. Bittersweet, but to me, the most disappointing thing about that gold medal game against Canada was that the fact that they hit the post on the empty netter. I mean, yeah, we got away with the call there with the ref interfering on that, but that was just so disappointing about how close they were making that, you know, a 3-1 game when it hit the post.
Yeah, I do have another discussion topic I want to talk about, and it was brought up by you, Eric, and that is that really the U.S. and the Canada are the only real good women's teams as far as the Olympics are concerned. A lot of whispers are being circulated around right now about that, and that's that maybe the women's Olympic hockey tournament is soon to go, just because there are two teams, and that's about it. So I want to ask you guys, my talented crew here, if you will, just do you think that that's the right move for the just hockey in general, do they need to nix this tournament? And I guess for competitive balance reasons, we'll start with you, Andrew.
You know what? It is a good discussion and a good debate question. I'm going to say no. I'm comparing this to women's softball in the Olympics. You know, women's softball was dominated by the United States and Australia, and they ended up cutting that a couple years ago. And it'd be interesting to see what happens here, but, you know, Canada and U.S. are the only two gold medal winners in the women's hockey, and, you know, Sweden and Finland have made a run for it. But, you know, I'd like to see it stay. I mean, you know, you're going to have, if they cut it, you're going to have a lot of different women's organizations, you know, petitioning and arguing against it for, you know, equal rights and stuff like that.
Cool.
I got to agree. It's just, you can't have, I feel like it's just because if you don't cut men's hockey, you really can't cut women's hockey because of the women's rights, the way that, you know, the country, I mean, the way that the, you know, the United States, the way that most of the world is now changing to equality standpoint. It's not true everywhere, but, you know, it's moving more towards that. So it just seems like as much as you want to say that Canada and U.S. and maybe throw in Sweden and Finland a little bit, you know, those are just the only powerhouses in the entire league. But you can't cut it because of, you know, it's just, it would bring up too much drama, bring up too much, you know, arguments. And, you know, sometimes this is the only chance for these girls to actually ever make it in, you know, professional hockey is the Olympics, because there is no women's hockey out there. So after college, they're done. And it's a big deal.
Take us home, Eric.
I don't think you should cut it, but because for me, I think it still draws more fans than, say, like cross-country skiing or like some of those other sports. I'd rather watch a blowout women's hockey game than a really competitive cross-country skiing race. And also, besides like that gold medal game, which is really competitive, draws a lot of fans, the bronze medal game and everybody else competing for that, for the bronze medal, that's really competitive still, because you had Switzerland upset Sweden in the bronze medal game this year, and that's still competitive. So there's still competition. It's just not between the U.S., Canada, and the other teams. It's between the U.S. and Canada, and then all the other teams are competing.
Yeah, I kind of like that we have a consensus that we should keep this game, because I tend to agree. One analogy, I guess one parallel I really like to bring up often is the Yankees and the AL East. For a long time, they dominated that league. No one was catching up to the Yankees. And now you look at this year, you know, the Red Sox, Blue Jays even, the Rays, the Orioles all have a chance. And that's when you have a dominant force over time like that, if you want to stay competitive, you're going to have to catch up to them eventually. So I think that it may not happen next year. It may not happen the year after that. But this is, I think that this dominance is a good thing. Maybe not a good thing, but it won't last forever. Nothing lasts forever in the world of sports, I don't think, as Alabama fans experienced this season. But, yeah, I'm sorry to bring that up, but it won't stay like this forever, and I think that the Olympic Council needs to keep this. And before we go to the other side of the break, I guess, I'm sorry. No, that's all we got. That's all we got for this segment. On the other side of the break, we'll get to talking about that ever-so-present debate about injuries, and I guess we've got a lot more cannon fodder to deal with. So with that in mind, we'll take it to a break right here. You're listening to The Morning Skate here on 90.7 The Capstone. That was a little rough. My bad.
No, you're good.
You're straight. All right.
This, I've got like 18-minute segment right now for this one, but I'm not sure if we can fit 18 minutes of this just because.
Yeah, because it's just like straight discussion pretty much.
Yeah.
It's a lot of debating.
Yeah.
I'll tell you what, we'll go through this and end it when we're done. We'll do the other one right on schedule, an 18-minute segment, and then we can kind of stretch out the award race one a little bit.
Yeah, plus we got on a few minutes late, I think.
We did get on a few minutes late.
Started.
Yeah.
We could cut this one short to make up for that time, probably.
Yeah, I agree. But we're actually, like, on time because our first segment ended rather quickly.
Oh, okay. All right.
Do you
want to
do trade deadline discussion?
I'd be down for that. Maybe just mention
We could do that.
One or two players you think could go?
Because it's next Wednesday, a week from Wednesday.
Yeah.
It is next Wednesday? It's this Wednesday or next Wednesday?
Next Wednesday.
Yeah, see, I want to go, like, a full comprehensive version for next week.
Okay.
just because I know we've already talked about it, and I guess this we can I think we can fill up the time without delving into that too much, I think.
Yes. Wait, so it's not this week, but the next week?
It's after? March 5th.
Yeah. Okay. Next Wednesday is the deadline.
Yeah, okay, I'm sorry. I was, like, cracking the numbers in my head.
Yeah, no.
You could see the smoke coming out.
13th next Thursday.
I can't wait for March. I hate the month of February. It's been long.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm not a fan.
Because conference tournaments will start soon for basketball, and that's the only college basketball I ever watch.
That's the only college basketball I ever watch.
That and
the
NCAA.
Hey, we won yesterday, though.
Oh, yeah.
What?
I know. Syracuse, Duke.
Don't even.
Awful call.
That was terrible. Yeah.
No one will ever get that call except Duke at Duke.
Yeah.
That is the only place you'll ever get that call.
I didn't catch it. What happened?
Barry Parker.
I did watch the LSU Kentucky game because I was on the treadmill and it was on.
The Syracuse player was driving the baseline, and some guy pretty much came from the top of the key down to the baseline to try to jar a charge, and he was still moving when there was contact, and they called a charge.
Yeah,
at Duke with 7 seconds left.
It was Parker too. Yeah. Jabari Parker
against CJ Fair. It was a bad
Jabari Parker.
I'll never get that call except at Duke.
And then Boeheim blows up and gets a double technical and ejected, and then they shoot free throws. And Dick Vitale said it right. You know, way to end. Don't end a game on free throws like that.
Yeah.
No, and Boeheim was making great points in the
post game.
In the post game, I was watching his post game this morning, and he was hysterical, just saying it only would happen at Duke. You know, as much as I have respect for Coach K.
No, there was a lot of really good college basketball. Now that I think about it, last night, just because Alabama won, which is like, you know, means it was snowing in hell, I guess. But nah, man, Randolph went off. Like, I think he had 33 points.
That was the first game all season he's really done anything.
He's like talented enough. That's what he did that all the time at Bob Jones.
Huh? He's just scared to shoot.
Yeah, he's scared to shoot, and he has a nice shot. I love his runner in particular. Like, I think he's got a sexy runner, but...
I love Boeheim. Whenever Boeheim's, like, you know, questioning, it's always, this is the Boeheim.